Amen. Let's turn. We're back. Let's get back into Galatians, loved one. We're in Galatians chapter 3. We'll begin this morning, probably about 3:24 or 25, right in that area. But let's refresh ourselves since I've been out of the pulpit for a week or whatever it's been. And remember that chapters 3 and 4 is the greatest defense that Paul has ever given in the Word of God concerning the doctrine, the incredible, beautiful doctrine of justification by faith alone. And so he's defending this great message in these two chapters. And so remember that Galatians really tells us and everyone else in every generation what really makes a believer a Christian. I mean, how does that really happen? Is it Jesus alone? Is it just faith in Christ, or is it faith in Christ plus something else, plus baptism, plus, or in this case, it was circumcision and so forth? And we know that that salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. Amen? So the Judaizers, what have they done? You know, they slithered into the churches of Galatia, many churches there now. And when they came in, they perverted the beautiful gospel of grace, and they turned it into the gospel of legalism or the gospel of works. That is still with us today. It's a terrible thing to deny or to say that Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of our sins and died for me and as me, was not sufficient to save me. What a terrible, wicked heresy. Matter of fact, if we go back to Galatians chapter 1, what did God say about those who pervert the gospel of grace? He said anathema. That word means to be doomed to hell for everlasting, everlasting. Don't mess with God's gospel of his unmerited, unconditional, unearned, undeserved, divine favor. Amen? That's what God is saying in his word. Now, this morning, listen very carefully. I want to talk to you about three important words. Sons of God. What a great, to be a son of the living God, to be a daughter of the living God. So this morning, if I use exclusively the word sons of God, I'm talking about everyone. Does that make sense? So I don't want the ladies to feel like, well, he's not mentioning me. I am mentioning you. It's sons and daughters of God, but I don't. You know what I'm saying. Is that okay? Now, with all that being said, let's begin this morning, and let's look at verse 24. Therefore, the law was our guardian, our tutor, talking about the law of Moses. And the purpose, it says, to bring us to Christ, and the reason is that we might be justified by works. Amen? Okay, this side, you're not listening. Oh boy, we better pray for this side, amen? No, listen, justified how? By faith. That's it, justified, declared perfect innocent or perfectly innocent in the eyes of the living God. Justified, just as if you had never ever sinned. Justification, where God, when we believe in Christ Jesus by faith alone, he in heaven, the legal decision, he says, okay, you are now declared innocent in my eyes, and he imputes, not imparts, but imputes Jesus' perfect, spotless, sinless record over into your account. And when God sees you, he sees you perfect in Christ. Oh, now, Bill, that's false. No, that's the truth. That's your position. I didn't say that was your practice. Amen. Oh, what a glorious word. Now look what happens. Now that faith has come, he says, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. So the law now has no, the ceremonial law that is, has no further claims upon those who are in Christ Jesus. And now we look at our text. It says, for you are all what? Sons of God, daughters of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul says for you, meaning Gentiles, meaning Jews, meaning anyone who has put their faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and ask him to be the Lord of their life. He says, you know what? The moment that you do that, you become sons of God. And so Paul, remember, he's defending the faith. So what is he actually saying? He's saying to the churches of Galatia or anyone today, why in the world would you seek to go back to an inferior position being under the law instead of being sons of God? We have learned, and you know it, that the law cannot save, the law cannot give life or impart life, the law cannot justify the believer, the law cannot remove sin, the law is powerless to prevent you from sinning. And I'll tell you something else. The law never made a son. Never. Never made a son. But when faith came, oh, now we are the sons of God. Listen, only faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, can make a person a legitimate son of the living God. Therefore, what is Paul saying? It can't be by works. It can't be by legalism. It can only be by grace, by faith alone in our Lord and Savior. The Bible, remember when we were back in Galatians 2, it says, verse 16, that no flesh, no human being will be justified by the law. None. No one can be declared righteous by the law, just obeying rules and regulations. It says in John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, meaning Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Think about that. The word right means the authority, the privilege, the honor. To become something that they and we had never been before. Think of it. We are the children of Almighty God. We belong to him. Amen? I think I get so excited about that. Loved one, it says, to those who believe on his name. Now look at verse 27. But as many of you who were baptized, that remember means to be immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. Put on Christ. What does that mean? It means that when God now sees you, he sees you in his Son, the one who never sinned. Amen? So that's what it means to put on the Lord. Now, this is not speaking of water baptism, even though many churches today teach that. But it can't be water baptism, because this is not speaking of something that happens outward, where you're put into the water. It's talking about something that happens inward. And water cannot wash away sin. Amen? That's right. So we know it's not speaking of that. It's speaking of the new birth. That the moment that a person believes in Christ, then God, by the Spirit of God, takes that person and he is now placed within the body of Christ. He becomes or she becomes the temple of the living God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for by one Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized or immersed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. That is the new birth, loved one. And therefore, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Republican or Democrat. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male. Put that in here and messed with my notes. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave, free, male, female. Why? Watch it. For you are all what? One. We are one body. We have one faith, one baptism. Amen? Yeah. All one in Christ Jesus. We're that one new man, the church. Listen, every person, regardless of race, education, nationality, we are all one. And we are all equal in Christ Jesus. There's not a hierarchy among believers. No, we're all one. We're all the same. Listen, we're the family of God. We're the most important family in the universe. Did you know that? We're the only family on earth that has the only book that came from heaven to this earth, the Bible, the living Word of God that never changes. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, loved one. Oh, no, we're the family of God. We belong to the Lord. We not only are we sons and daughters by faith alone in Christ Jesus, we're all one, but we're also something else. We're all heirs of God. You know, I get excited about, like in the song, when we get home, when we go home to be with the Lord. Man, that's not a sad thing. That is a glad thing. Amen? Listen, Revelation 1:5 says, now unto him who loved us and gave himself for us and made us unto himself or unto God the Father, kings and priests. That's who you really are. Do you understand that? Do you really believe that? You see, that's the problem. If you don't believe it, then you're going to think you're still, well, I'm just old Bill. No, I'm Bill, the son of God. I belong to him. I'm in a brand new family. You understand me? Boy, we need to latch on to that. And we're also heirs. Look at it, verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the what? Okay, to the promise. Not by law, not physical descent, not by works, or human effort, by the promise. What is that promise? What was the promise that Abraham believed? Remember, what was it? Galatians 3:6? And it was accounted unto righteousness to Abraham because he just simply believed. That's the promise. It goes all the way back to Genesis, 12:3, the unconditional promises that God himself, without Abraham's doing anything, just, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'll make you a great nation. You know, whoever curses you, I'll curse. Da, da, da. And then he goes, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Why? Because through Abraham, all the way down through the eons, who came? Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. So what is the promise that he's speaking of as well? It's the same promise that, just like Abraham, and that was this, justification declared righteous in the eyes of God. How? By just simply believing. That's what he's speaking of here. And now I say in chapter 4 that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Though, look at it now, he's master of all. Master of all, the little boy. Meaning that all, even though he's a child, he's still the rightful owner of all that his father possesses, okay? It says, but, literally we could say, but as long as he's a little boy. So, but he's under guardians, under stewards, until the time appointed by the Father. So that's, Paul's using a Roman illustration here, but the fact of the matter is that the stewards and the guardians, which was really the tutor, the law, you understand, and they would raise these children up, they would protect them and so forth and discipline them, just like the law did. So in Roman times, underage children, even though they were belonged to the dad, they were not much different than slaves, okay? And not only that, even though they were heirs, again, the legal owners of what all their father possessed, they didn't have it because they weren't old enough. They were not of the age yet. And look what he says, verse 3, even so we, when we're not anymore, but when we were children, we're in bondage or slaves under the elements of the world. Paul's talking to Gentiles. He's talking to Jews. He says, when we were kids, we're not kids anymore. That's past tense, amen? The elements means the elementary teachings, like, for example, learning your A, B, and C's. So little children who were in legalism, They like boundaries. You know, if I do this, I'm protected. Mama will love me. Daddy will love me. You know what I'm saying. Well, you know, children need restraints. Matter of fact, we would do well to restrain your children today. Be careful and wise what you let them do and not do. Amen? Who they hang out with and who they don't hang out, what they watch. You'd be wise to do that. Now, but here it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God did something. He sent forth his son, born of a woman, and born under the law. In the fullness of time. You know, at that perfect moment in history, not when the world said it was time, but when heaven said it was time. Amen? God sent his son on a mission, of course, to seek and save those who were lost, to die for the sins of the world. Absolutely. But in context here, this divine appointment, speaking about our Lord, the timeless one who stepped out of eternity. What happened? John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? The God-man, 100% human, 100% man. Oh, listen, loved one. Just as the human father, as we just read, chose the time for his little one to become a man, an adult man, our heavenly Father chose the exact perfect time in history, and he sent Jesus Christ into the world to deliver us and take us from the law into grace, into sonship. We are the sons and we are the daughters of God. And how did God send his son into the world? He was born of a woman, the virgin birth, the Holy Spirit. Now listen, born of a woman, didn't say born of a man. Why did he say that? Because God, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed Mary. Jesus was just like man, meaning he was fully man and fully God, except for one thing. He acted like all human beings, except for one thing. He was totally and completely without sin. Amen? And then he was born under the law. Why? Well, he was a Jew. So the demands of the law, he had to face that like everybody else. He had to be circumcised on the eighth day. He had to attend all the feasts and so forth, keep all the ceremonial laws. But he was born under the law for a purpose, to satisfy the law's demand, to pay the penalty of all the laws that we broke. Amen? And not only that, no one has ever done what Jesus has done because he kept the law perfectly. He lived a perfect life. Jesus is the only person ever born of woman in this world that kept all of the law. And everything that he did, listen, everything that Jesus did pleased the Father. Every thought, every action, every judgment, he never made a mistake. He never made a wrong judgment. Everything that Jesus did, God was totally satisfied with. Jesus said in John 8:29, he said this, I always do those things that please my Father. And now we're in him, amen? And look, born under the law, do something else. To redeem those under the law, and the reason that we might receive the what? Adoption, very important word. Receive the adoption as sons. The word redeem there, we've already covered that in, chapter 3, verse 13 about the curse and so forth. But the word redeem here means to purchase a person. Actually, it means to purchase a slave off the auction block and then after you've purchased the person, to totally and completely set that person free where he can never be in bondage or never have another owner the rest of his life. We'll see who owns us. That's right. We belong to God. So to redeem those who were under the law, the bondage of the law. So Jesus was born under the law. He lived under the law. He died under the law, the penalty of the law, of all the things that we broke, and he did it for us. And he says here, to receive the adoption as sons. That word literally means to, as adult sons, or to have all the full rights as an adult son from the Father. So we know that the law never made any person a son or daughter. Amen? That's right. Never. So we are God's children by adoption. I love that word, adoption. I mean, listen, God has adopted us, and I'm really going to get into that later. But look at verse 6. And because you are sons, not because you're going to be, you're sons right now, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, where? Into your hearts. And look what we cried out, Abba, Father. We've studied that word a lot here, haven't we? It's an Aramaic word for papa or for daddy. So Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he used the same word in Mark 14, someplace in Mark 14. And when he cried out and he said, Abba, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Do you know that we use the same word? The same Spirit that came upon Jesus lives in us. Amen? Think about that. Man, I look and I say, oh, Lord, you mean that the believer, the son or daughter of God, their relationship with God the Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, is so intimate, so perfect, so personal, that I can call God Abba. It would do well for the church of Christ to dwell upon that thought. Because if you're like me, I go to the throne of grace every morning. Amen? The throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. And I can walk in any time. Why? I'm his son. You're his daughter. You're his son. Do you understand? He wants you to come. He wants you to come in and pray. And as you do, it says that he will reward you openly when you pray to the Father in secret. And I look and I say, oh God, you mean, wait a minute, Lord, I'm your son now, and that means that, well, I always think about you're my judge. He says, well, I'm more than that now. I'm your father. That means he takes care of you. That means he loves you. That means he wants to protect you all the days of your life. Amen? That's what a father does. Do you know whenever you hurt, do you think God hurts? Of course, he feels your pain. He knows your pain. He knows what you're going through. He casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I look and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. He says, therefore you, that's us now. Paul says, you're no longer a, no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if a son, look at this now, then an heir of God by works. Oh, I'm sorry. By heir of God by personal merit. No. Heir of God only one way, through Christ our Lord. The truth of the matter is that we read things, and as we read it, it should blow us away. If I handed you a piece of paper, and it said, and it was the last will and testament, and it said that, what's that Berkshire Hathaway guy? What's his name? Warren Buffett, thank you. See, when you get my age, the cheese slides off the cracker. Thank you for putting it back on. What was his name? Warren Buffett. Okay. Okay, it's gone. Forget it. Now, if I handed you a piece of paper and it was the last will and testament of Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or whoever is rich today, the Apple people, I don't know. I don't even care. But, and it said, I, Warren Buffett, leave you, Mario, everything. Would you go, oh, well. I mean, I'm only a billionaire. No, you know what he would, I don't know if, is he a dancer? No, he would be a dancer. I mean, he would be the Fred Astaire. Do you understand? He would know how to do the, whatever it is. And if it happened to me, I would jump all over this room too. I'd be jumping chairs. I'd be slapping people for fun. Now, look at that verse again. And if you're a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus, if you are a daughter of God through faith in Christ Jesus, then an heir of God through Christ. You know what that just said? When you became a believer, you inherited your father's entire estate. Why doesn't that turn you on? Why doesn't, I mean, that should, you should be just, we should be holy rollers. Okay, tough. The first service loves me. You guys are hard on me. That's okay. What does this mean? It means that God our Father gives us everything that His Son Jesus Christ possesses. And I say, oh Lord. We are sons of God. We are adopted. We're heirs by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. I say, oh Lord, this is too good. We don't deserve it. When we finally see all of that, loved one, I think if we can remember back, and we probably won't, but if we do, we're going to regret not being a little more, we're too tame. We're sons of God. We're daughters of God. Let's talk about inheritance. Let's talk about adoption just for a minute. Turn with me to Romans and look at chapter 8 in Romans. Hold your place because we're going to come back. But just look at this with me. Romans 8. Let's just look at starting verse 14. It says, as many as are led by the what? Not pastors, not prophets, not evangelists, not books, not self-help books. No, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Look at this. What does the next thing say? These are the what? Sons of God. The daughters of God. Man, I look and I say, oh, true sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God, which means that the Holy Spirit of God is working in the life of the believer. And what is he doing? He should be, or he wants to, because that word led literally means willingly led. That means that he wants to lead you, wean you from the things of this life and the things of this world. Amen? He wants you to walk in a supernatural lifestyle, not a natural Adam lifestyle. Do you understand? That old slave that's still alive, that's in me, that lust turns him on and he lies and all. No, no, I don't want that person. That slave. No, I want to be led by my supernatural divine helper. I want to live in the power of another. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, because he's the one who illuminates the Word of God, leads you into all truth. He is the one, loved one, that should be, and I hope that he is, the controlling influence in your entire life, your decision making, all that you do with your family, all that you do with your children. Listen, I'm indebted, and you are indebted to the Holy Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not make him sad. He's a person. He's not a force. He's not an essence. He's not a language. Do not grieve, make sad, vex, hurt the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed to the very day of redemption, the very day we go home, the very day we get our new body. Loved one, listen, he is here, he is with us, and we are sons and daughters of God, and we should be like Peter and walk on water, amen, when we are bid to come out. When Jesus said, get out of the boat, we should be going. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now listen, when Paul penned Romans, and he used that expression for the very first time, sons of God, listen, that means male and female, just to back up and let you know that again. It's a generic term for both sexes. So when I say sons of God, I'm talking about sons and daughters, okay? Again, now, watch this. It says we are sons of God. How does that make you feel? I mean, do you feel any obligation to live up to the dignity of your position in Christ Jesus? Let not your flesh, the world, or the devil harden your heart to that incredible truth. You are sons and daughters of God. You should walk worthy, by the power of another, walk worthy of your calling. Listen to me now. Sons of God and daughters of God have a unique, specific lifestyle. They are led by the Spirit of God. Now look at the next verse. For you did not receive the Spirit again to fear. In other words, we're not slaves to fear anymore. But you received the Spirit of what? Sonship. That's what adoption means, the Spirit of sonship, adoption. And here comes again the same word Paul used in Galatians, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. So this same example in Galatians, in Romans as well. Now, Paul lived in the Roman times. And so the Romans had a ceremony, it was the ceremony of the togas or whatnot. It was a very, very serious thing. Adoption was serious. You can be born into the family, okay, but you still had, you were under a tutor, but you had until the father said you weren't. But also in a Roman family, the father could adopt anyone he wanted to outside of his family and declare him to be a son. So listen, very important now. So when the father determined the son that was in his house, he was a little boy, but whenever he comes out from underneath the stewards and the custodians and the tutors, all the rest of it, he determines when that little boy is now an adult. You know, if you study history, you know what the father would do. The father, there'd be a big party, really, but he would walk over to his son, and the father would remove the toga that the son was wearing and drop it and cast it away. And the dad would then take off his toga, and he would place it upon his son, declaring him now a full adult. You can't touch him. He's no longer under tutors. He's no longer under the legalistic system. He's free. He's no longer going to be treated like a slave. He is my full adult son. And not only that, he is the heir, the full heir to all that I have. Now, in Roman adoption of someone outside of the family, what they would do is that they would bring the son in. And when the father said, okay, son, I've adopted you, you're not mine, but I've adopted you, okay? And when I adopt you, you are now going to be permanently and forever, no one can change it, placed in my family forever and ever and ever. And whatever happened in your past, son, the one I'm adopting, is completely severed. If you had debt, it's severed. Any kind of obligation, it's now gone. You have a complete, clean slate in your life now. And you're going to be treated as though those obligations of the past, whatever they might be, never happened. Does that sound familiar? Oh, listen, loved one, the Bible says, Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God. Why? For he hath clothed me with the garments, or may I just change it for a moment? The toga of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. That robe of righteousness, remember when the prodigal son, he was gone. He was out there living a terrible life and sinning and all the rest of it. He left his dad, and the prodigal father waited on him day and night, waiting for his son to return. One day he looked, and there he was. The old man, the prodigal father, ran out to his son away from all the other servants. You know the story. And here he comes. He rehearsed his speech. Oh, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Just make me a hired servant. And the father, the prodigal father, said, oh, you were lost, but now you're found. You were dead, but now you're alive. Bring the sandals, bring the ring, and bring the best robe. Let me cover my son's shame. Amen. That robe of righteousness, which is Christ's perfect, sinless, spotless record that now belongs to the sons and the daughters of the living God. I say, oh God, you're so good. Now listen, we are adults with God now. We're no longer in Adam. Amen? God got us out of the Adam's family. We're into his family, man. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our home is there. Jesus is preparing a place for us right now. Maybe it's already prepared. In natural adoption, let me show you the difference. Natural adoption, spiritual adoption, or human adoption, okay? If I said, Mario, I love you. I want you to be my son. I'm going to be coming to my family. You're going to call yourself Mario Quinn. Or we could change it to Anthony Quinn. Remember the actor? No, you young people don't even know who that was, do you? That's okay. We were related. Now, so Mario is now my son. He has my last name. When I die, he has anything that I have, which is absolutely nothing. So he's going to have to pay for my funeral, but that's okay. You know what I'm saying? But if I do have anything, everything I have is now yours, except one thing. One thing. He's not really my son. He is, but he's not. Legally, yes. But he'll never have my nature. Never. Because he did not come from me. Now listen to me. When God adopts you, he calls you fully sons and daughters. Listen to this scripture. 2 Peter 1:3. As God's divine power, that means the whole Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as his divine power has given to us. That's past tense, loved one. A past event, a present reality. His divine power has given unto us all things, not some things, all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to godliness. The one who has called us has also enabled us. It is a fact. God says, I have given you absolutely everything that you need for a life of godliness and for life, and life as well. That's what God has done. And not only that, listen now, by which we have been given to us, I love this, exceedingly great and precious promises. We have all the promises, loved one, that God has given unto us. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen? You know, no one will ever take you, snatch you out of my hands. All these promises of God, loved one, they're ours. They're precious. They're great. They're exceedingly great. Now, listen carefully, that through these, meaning these promises, here it comes, that you may be partakers of the divine nature. I look at that and I say, what? Partakers, that means to share in. That means that we have the very divine nature of God living in our spirit. Amen? Do you understand that? I'm going, wow. Oh, God, you're so good. You know, in other words, sons of God, daughters of God. Listen, we share the DNA of God. Are you listening to me? Absolutely. Are we the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay, he's there. He's there right now. Listen, we have the divine power of God, the divine nature of God, and then he's given us divine gifts. 1 Peter 4:7. Each person, every believer, every son and daughter of God, you have a gift, a supernatural gift that God has given you. And he says, use it. That's what we're to be doing. Now, look at this. But you have received the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, that's the Spirit of sonship, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Here it is. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with, not to, okay, with our what? With our spirit, that we are children of God. What does that really mean? It means this: when a person is born from above, they know something has happened. They certainly, if they don't know the Bible, they wouldn't know this scripture. But it means that my spirit and the Holy Spirit bears witness one to another that we are the children of God. We know something has happened. Like I told the first service, when I came to Christ on that beach in Florida, and that person said, give me your hand and let's pray. When I opened my eyes after I received Christ, I don't know how to explain it, but I promise you, as God is my witness right now, everything was different. I didn't know why it was different. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about God or Jesus. I just know that I prayed, Jesus, please come into my heart. Please be the Lord of my life. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and then he made me alive, and his spirit bear witness with my spirit, and that's why I knew something had happened. Why? I was saved. I couldn't explain it, but something happened, and it has kept happening now for 40-some-odd years, loved one. Oh, listen, and that's what happens when we're believers, and since, watch this, since we are children, then heirs, and here's this word again, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified together. That's a future thing, the glorification. Everything that Christ receives because of divine right, we have received because of divine grace. I say, oh God, you're so good. Listen to me. This is not preaching, or this is God's word. God has given his sons and daughters. The Father has given you so much. You're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. He's given you so much, there's nothing more to give. Do you understand? What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 3:21? All things are yours. All things are yours. You have inherited the Father's estate. I'm going, oh God, you are so good. Man, the value of any inheritance, loved one, is based upon the worth of the person who has it. Amen? The Lord says in the Word of God, it says in Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein, and everything that's in the earth. Listen, he has created it all. The Bible says in Psalm 51, whatever it is in that area, he says, the beasts are mine, the cattle are mine. Haggai 2:8, all the silver, all the gold, everything is mine. What are we worried about? Everything belongs to God. Our inheritance that we have, forget the world. We're not of this world. The inheritance that we have is from the owner, the creator, the sustainer of this entire universe. The one who numbered the stars and gives them a name. The one who knew you before you were ever born. The one who, it says in Ephesians 1:6, that you're accepted in the beloved, which means that God loved, the beloved meaning Jesus, meaning that God loves you the exact same way he loves his son. I think, oh Lord, you're so good. And not only that, our Father is not only the source of our inheritance, loved one, he himself is our inheritance. Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion, my inheritance. I say, oh God, you are so good. Listen to me now. I don't understand anymore, but how can any Christian that is a son or a daughter of God, How can we be apathetic about the things of God unless we're not being led by the Spirit of God? How can we refuse to ever forgive those who persecute us and say all manner of evil against us? Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. If you look up that word, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, it means start jumping up and dancing and shouting. How can we not love other people? We are the sons and daughters of God, and we are to imitate Him because we can. Amen? Oh, I look and I say, Lord, You're so good. You know, how can we not serve the Lord? How can we not give to the Lord, support the kingdom of God? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, it tells us this, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, who has, it's already happened, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ in the heavenlies. That doesn't mean when we get to heaven, that is right this moment. You can't get any more from God than He's already given you because He's already given you everything. How do you get it then, Bill? You appropriate it by faith. God said it, that settles it. Amen? I believe it. The Bible says, what did John write in 1 John 4:17? He says, as He is. As Jesus is, that's present tense, not past tense. As Jesus is this very moment, seated at the right hand of God. As He is, so are we in this world. Listen, we need to quit thinking with a carnal mind and start thinking with a spiritual mind and be renewed to the things of God on who we really are. We're sons and daughters of God. We need to walk with that kind of dignity. You know, the Bible tells us only two kinds of children on this earth. Remember? Well, of course, Adam and those in Adam in Christ. But in 1 John 3:10, what did He say? He says, in this are the children of God and the children of the devil made manifest. He who practices, that means an habitual lifestyle, he who practices righteousness, he who does not, practice righteousness, or nor love others. Man, you're in trouble. Because we know that that doesn't come from God, amen? We love others because the Holy Spirit's in us. We're children of God. We're not children of the devil, loved one. No, not at all. Now, quickly, I know it's nearly time for you to go to Luby's, but hold on. I want you to go back. Let's go back. Turn back to verse 8 in Galatians. Paul says, let's wrap this up now. He says, but then indeed, you served those... which by nature are not God. So Paul's concluding, he says, you know what? Before you were saved by faith, you just a bunch of pagan idolaters and served all these other, you were a slave to idolatry, in other words, false gods. But now, after you are known or have known God, or rather are known by God, since you came, meaning now that you came to the Lord Jesus by faith alone, Paul says, how is it? Now Paul's blown away. How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements? In other words, the poverty of the law, where you say, I got to work to please God. I've got to earn my salvation. He goes, well, are you out of your mind? He says, listen, to which you desire again to be in bondage. That word desire is a very important word because it's saying that they are making a choice to do it. They want to do it. Paul says, man, you are sons and daughters of the living God. Why do you want to go back in slavery? Matter of fact, he could have even said to the Gentiles, you weren't under the law anyway. Why do you want to get under the law when we couldn't keep it? He says, oh no, listen. Why would you turn away from grace and the truth of the gospel to some powerless legalism? Works, thinking that you can earn God's favor. And earn, like I just said, he says, you observe days, you observe months, you observe seasons, you observe years. What is he saying? The Sabbath days, the feast, Pentecost, tabernacles, and Passover. So what are you doing? He says, I'm afraid for you. I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid for you. Why? Well, I've labored in vain for you. In other words, was it for nothing? I brought you to the Lord, and now you turn away from grace? You turn away from faith in Christ into legalism? You go back. You're going to be a slave. And Jesus has set you free. That word observe there literally means rigid observant. In other words, you do those things because you think you gain God's love and God's favor. Now listen, let me close by saying something to you this morning. We're living in a great time of the history of this church. Amen. This outreach is going to be so incredible. Oh, you have to be praying. You have to be working. Oh, God is so good. But listen, to be a Spirit-led son or daughter of God, do you know what that means? It means that you're changing. You change every day. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, here comes, are being transformed. That word we get in metamorphosis, remember. We're being transformed into the same image, meaning the image of our Savior, Jesus, from glory to glory to glory to glory. It's a process, loved one. And how does it happen? It says, by the Spirit of the Lord. Now listen to me. If we are Spirit-led, if we are sons of God, daughters of God, we are going then from glory to glory to glory. We're not stuck in glory. We're not stuck 5 years ago. We keep moving on, man. We keep changing. But see, if we're going from glory to glory, that means this. We should, the Church of Jesus Christ, should be more and more like Jesus every day. Amen? Not less and less like Jesus every day. The world should become a dim place. The world should become a place, I don't want anything to do with the world. I just want to save people in this world. Amen? Yes, listen, there's no room, loved one, for apathy. We must live up to our calling because we can. There's no room for an apathetic Christian. We're getting ready to have the largest outreach in the history of this church. 50 days, 50 some odd days. There's going to be at least 1,000 mothers. If they have children, it could be 2,000, 3,000. Do you understand? Not all of them are saved. There's going to be grandparents that are raising their children's children. Some are saved, some are not saved, that are going to be here. When they pass through the tents, that's the last place they're going to go to. That's where the prayer, the people who want to lead them to the Lord and tell them how much Jesus loves them. That may be the last time they ever hear the good news. Some of them. It is appointed unto man once to die. Amen. It could be the last time that child, God forbid, the last time that grandmother, grandfather. Do you understand me? If they hear that, did you know Jesus died for you? He took your sins. He loves you. We don't want anything from you. Do you want to give Jesus to be the Lord of your life? See, we must do this. There's no room for an apathetic Christian. Do you understand? No. Listen, sons of God, let me rephrase that. Are sons of God fishers of men? Okay, then are sons of God ambassadors for Christ? Okay, then, loved one, we have to do it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Jesus used a word that's only used one time in the New Testament, peacemakers. He is not speaking about world peace. He's not talking about let's have a peace day. He's not talking about politics. You know what Jesus is talking about when he says, oh, blessed are the peace. I could rephrase it. Blessed are my peacemakers, for they'll be called the sons of God. What does that mean? Jesus is saying here a peacemaker is one who shows someone who is not at peace with God how to have peace with God. That's what we are called to do. That's what sons of God is called to do. Listen, I know it's time to go, it's time to close, and I'm getting ready to in about 5 hours. But listen to me. When I was a young pastor, in my first pastorate, I had a person start writing me from Huntsville. And he was in prison. And so what I started doing was sending him like those Billy Grahams, you know, the things how you, and he became, he would do all the study, went through, and he would send me, his test back. Now, this went on for about 3 years, maybe longer. And I'm a Christian, and he loved the Lord. So one day, and so I said, well, praise the Lord, and I was feeling real good about myself, And he wrote me a letter, said, I get out in a week. Would you drive to Huntsville and pick me up? Well, I don't know what this guy did, but he's a believer. I write him back. I said, I'll be at the Walls unit at such and such a time. So I pull, drive down there, and he comes out. None of his clothes fit because they just give you clothes, when you get out. His hair was all disheveled, and his buttons weren't buttoned. And he got in the car, and all right. He says, are we going to go through Waxahachie? I said, yes, sir. He said, there's a Western store. I want you to stop there. I'm going to buy me some brand new Wranglers and a brand new cowboy shirt. I said, okay. So I drive. It goes in there. Are y'all with me? He comes out. You know how new jeans look, and you know what I'm saying. Gets in that car. He says, we're going to Fort Worth, right? I said, yes, sir. He said, there's a car lot. I want you to take me to this car lot. I'm going to buy a car. I said, you got some money to buy a car? Because I was going, I'm buying all this gas. I was a poor pastor. I take him to a car lot on East Lancaster. And so I pull in, and there's the little car lot, the building. And it was a small little, small. But it had huge plate glass window, and I saw the manager or whoever was behind the desk, and that prisoner or ex-prisoner, he goes in there, he sits down. And I was watching it. And all of a sudden, I could see that manager or that person, whatever he was, the salesman, was belittling him. I could see the look on the guy's face. It was hurting me. And so I just said, well, I don't know what's going on. So I had a little bitty Bible, and I opened the Bible, and I read this. It just turned right to this page. Jesus said this. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Him who strikes you on the cheek, give him the other off. If he wants a coat, give him another one. Give to everyone who asks. And from him who takes away your goods, don't ask him back. And just as you want men to do to you, do also to them. He goes and he says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that from you? For even sinners lend. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend. 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 Hoping nothing in return. And your reward will be great in heaven. And you will be sons of the Most High. I looked back into that window. And I said, okay, Lord, I know what you want me to do. I'm going to act like a son of God. I'm going to do what Jesus would do. I got out of my car. I had no money. We were so broke in our first pastorate, but I had a credit card with nothing on it. I walked into that room, and I heard what that man was saying his name was Woody. And his head went lower and lower and lower. He said, all I have is $200. We don't even have a job. I said, do not berate that man anymore. How much is that car? Da-da-da-da. I said, put it on me. And you give him the keys. And let him leave right now. That's what sons and daughters of God do. He who hath pity upon the poor, not just I feel sorry for you. He who hath pity, they do something about it, lendeth unto God, and he will pay back what is given. Loved one, get in the whirlwind. We have people that are coming that are hurting. You're going to be able to let them feel your love and see your love and your love demonstrated to them. Amen? That's what it's all about. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, whether you're listening live or you're in this chapel, listen to me. I love you. I'm a fisher of men. I'm a feeder. I feed and then I fish. Man, I want to catch you. I want to take you away from the devil and I want to present you to the living God so you can say, his spirit has now borne witness of my spirit. I am a child of God. Father, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you do not know Christ Jesus as your Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, oh, I love you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He paid the penalty of your sin so you won't have to pay it. If that's you, and you say, Bill, I want to be a son. I want to be a daughter of God. If you'll lift your hand and say, that's me. And then it just lifted and put it right back down. You don't have to make your way to this pulpit. I'll pray. We'll pray. I'll pray with you from right here where you are right now, if that's you. But quickly, by faith, would you just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. Pray for me. I want to be born again. I'll not ask again. Last call. Then, Father, I choose to believe and hope to believe that everybody here is a born-again son of God, daughter of God, sheep of your pasture. Let your wind now blow. Oh, God, thank you that you're calling people from the north, south, east, and west who are sending the funds, helping us with the greatest outreach we've ever known. What an honor it is, Lord, and a privilege. We love you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we?